Comfort my people, says the Lord. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint.
Have you not known? Have you not heard?
I love those words, as if it's so obvious. I love the promise that God gives us strength. And I've seen the evidence, because I knew Doris Hurst. Her strength and her perseverance were beyond understanding. They simply had to come from somewhere else. And I love the picture on the cover of the bulletin that you have, the great Kendra Chuck gap in her teeth. And I love the picture on the back, except that it's fake news. I mean, not that it isn't Doris. It's her, and she did play baseball. But it's not right, because you'll notice that the pose is of one who's about to bunt the ball. And the Doris Hurst that I knew never bunted in her life. She swung for the fences every time, right? Why order a pizza when you can cook for 12 people? Why let someone buy communion bread for the church when you can make it? You know, and she did. She made communion bread for about a decade of my tenure here at Jubilee. That's at least 240 loaves of bread for the folks at Jubilee, and about another 120 loaves for me to take home. Doris mounted up with wings like eagles, and she did run, and she never let on that she might be weary. But I do hear the truth of that line, he gives power to the faint. The last couple of years slowed Doris down. Over the years, she went from no longer being able to feel how much of each ingredient was needed when she baked to actually having to look to see how much was needed. Never by measurement, don't be ridiculous. But things did change, and she did slow, and she did adapt. But you know, her power never went away. Her smile, her humor, that twinkle stayed full of power. I picture her, I hear her, I can feel her push my arm, almost punch me as she laughed. Oh, that's just you. 14 years ago when we first met, she did that. And I can see her a year ago with an IV in her arm and then the bruise and the same strength, the same laugh. Power never went away. Today, Doris is still flying with the wings of eagles. And she's not faint, nor is she weary. And she is not bunting. She is swinging for the fences. She is with God. So friends, welcome to Jubilee United Church. I am stunned that you are here, although I shouldn't be. In this weather, it would be very easy to stay safe, and I hope some people did stay safe, but I see the village here, and I see family here, and it's amazing. I'm really glad to be here with you. I'm privileged to serve this community as part of the ministry team at Jubilee, and today Jason Myers and Dr. Daniel Rubinoff and I will lead this service of celebration and of grief. And we have much to celebrate, but we're also hurting. It's hard because Doris was such a force of nature that you actually can't imagine that she's finally at rest. It takes time for that to sink in. So today, if you're just coming to realize that Doris has died, that's okay. You're not alone. And if you've had some time to process her death and you're glad that Doris was able to die peacefully at home, having had a full family Christmas and knowing that she was loved, you're not alone in that either. And if you want to laugh today, go ahead. Others will be laughing too. But if you want to cry and you're not even sure why, well, look around. Even in this horrendous weather, you're not alone. Together, we're going to do all of those things. We will cry, and we will laugh, and we will grieve, and we will celebrate. But mostly, we will love. We will love Charlene, and Debbie and Doug, and Robert and Elizabeth, and Jason and Chantel and Keith, and we'll love each other, and we will celebrate Doris and what mattered most to her. This. I'll ask Jason to open us in prayer.
Let us pray. God, who spans all ages and knows our very hearts, there is much that we don't understand, so much that is beyond us. Help us trust in you. We need to be filled with your Spirit, a Spirit that understands our sadness, but even more importantly, knows our love. Understand our loss, heal our sorrow, inspire our smiles, fill our emptiness, and celebrate our love. Help us to feel better, stronger, and ready for the future. In this time together, assure us again that what lies ahead for any of us, what Doris experiences even now, is more than we have ever seen, heard, or even imagined. Even more than we can understand. Grant us faith. Amen.
Just a quick word about faith. I like to explain this from time to time. Because, you see, faith is something more than belief. Belief is an opinion, and sometimes you can prove it, and sometimes you can't. I mean, I believe that the Blue Jays are going to have a good year this year. I even believe that they're going to go to the World Series this year. Now, it's an opinion, and in time there will be proof or not. Now, if I have faith, however, that the Jays are going to win the World Series, then I'm going to live my life differently. Not just belief, but faith. So I've already booked time off work in October. I've got tickets to every game because this is going to be the big year. That's faith. You see the difference? Doris had opinions about and believed in a lot of things, but she had faith in a few things. She had faith in the ability of food to fix all things, to bring people together, to convey and nurture love. She had faith in that. She had faith in Bob and in their children. And grandchildren. She shaped her life around you. And she believed in a loving God who has been with her throughout her life, on the farm in Saskatchewan, and every day that followed. But more than that, she had faith in that same God. It's the faith that allowed a teenage girl to get in a train and leave the family farm for the city of Toronto, so far away. A faith that carried her through a lot of times, good times and bad times. You know, I came to meet Doris shortly after her heart attack. You remember the time that she refused to die? I know that her faith in God and her experience back then left her with absolutely no fear or worry about death. She was ready when it was time. And last week it was time. So today, whether or not it is your faith, you're invited to celebrate Doris's faith. A faith that she found compelling enough to build her life around. Faith that brings us here to this moment. So in celebrating that faith, we're going to start by singing. And I'll invite you to join with me. We're going to sing How Great Thou Art. The words are in the bulletin. I'll come forward, and if you're comfortable standing, you're welcome to stand and sing with me. You're also welcome to stay seated and sing with me. Whatever feels best to you in that moment. But we are going to sing and celebrate faith. How great thou art.
This is Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I come to light the candle of memory, and I look here at the table, and I see a cloth from Doris's mother and a Ukrainian Bible. I see Saskatchewan. I see the remains of a life well-loved and well-lived in the urn, a rose. Then I see bread. Ukrainian bread. And the candle is in the midst of the bread. When we finish the service today, we will sing a hymn that I picked simply because we get to sing the chorus, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Because so much of what I think of when I think of Doris is bread. Bread that fills and bread that nourishes, bread that welcomes, bread that somehow is magic, because I could not make bread the way she could. I make good bread. I couldn't make her bread. So those are my memories, but on this table are so many things to inspire your memories. So many things. And so as we light this candle, I hope that you will embrace those memories and recognize that they are gifts. They are stories, they are moments in time that you have shared with Doris, and they're yours. They can never be taken away. They are relationship. So I ask that these memories warm you, welcome you, nurture you, in the same way that Doris's bread always did that for me.
This is a reading from the Gospel of John. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because they had so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone to shore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, And he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep."
That story that Jason just read, it's an interesting story. It's intriguing for a couple of reasons. One of them is that it was added to John's gospel after the gospel was finished. Right, the chapter before pretty much wraps things up and says essentially, the end. And then there's a little more. But it ended, the end, over. Just kind of the way that I think some of us are feeling right now. We've lived wonderful lives with Doris, and we recognize that that kind of experience is over. And so in love, we've gathered here to put her remains to rest and to say, the end. Well done, Doris. Thank you. Well done, us. But we also know that this isn't the end, don't we? It's not like we're going to get up tomorrow morning and it'll all be done. There will be more to be said, to be felt, to be shared. And see, John felt the same way. And that's why we needed an extra story added to the gospel. Even though it's over, there's a little more. And in that story, you see, Jesus' disciples, his family, essentially, his loved ones, have gone back to work, back to the routine. They're fishing. It's what they do. Just like we are going to go back to our routines, because that's how life works. But then every now and again, something will happen. In the gospel, they hear a voice from the shore. It's far off. It's early morning, so it's like through the mist. They can't see it, they just hear it. They almost feel it, reminding them of the old days. Throw your net on the other side. They remember when Jesus said that a long time ago. But it can't be Jesus, because he's gone. It's just a voice out of the mist. You or I, we might hear a Neil Diamond song. Doris loved Neil Diamond. "I am, I said, I am, said I." And then just in the back of your memory, you'll smell bread. And you'll remember that unique smell that used to occur when Doris's baking combined with the smell of the donut shop and Dempster's and all that came together. And it'll fill your heart and your memory as if Doris were standing on the shore calling you. And part of your brain will say, "That's silly, she's gone." But your heart won't listen. And pretty soon, you'll be telling somebody about the peanut butter cookies that changed the world. Or at least the lives of those who receive them. Or how Doris would bring cookies to bank tellers and doctors and dentists and hairstylists and ministers alike and just change their days. Just cookies. And as you share the story, someone else will remember how proud she was to be working on mosquitoes during the war. The planes, not the insects. Or how she loved not only watching the Blue Jays, but also loved playing baseball. Or coaching Charlene's team in softball. And how she may well have been very gracious in defeat, but she truthfully loved to win. We'll remember that. In the story, it must have been tempting for Jesus' loved ones to ignore the voice. Just stay focused on fishing. Stay with the routine. Get on with it, because that can't be who it is. But Peter doesn't listen to his head. He follows his heart, and he jumps in the water, and he goes toward the voice, and he finds Jesus waiting for him. It is so tempting to say that it's done now, that it's time to move on, it's over. But our faith tells us that that's not so. And our hearts tell us that as well, because we feel the connection to Doris. It's not gone. The stories are more than sentimental leftovers from a wonderful life. They are evidence of our connection, of our love that reaches through and beyond death. We love Doris. She loves us. Still. The life that we shared with her still has much to share with us now. Love and lessons of perseverance, strength and humor in the face of adversity, forgiveness, absolute faith in the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, the importance of volunteering your time and your strength and your wisdom and your love to the community. We know that Doris and Bob built community, communities that stand to this day, communities that are represented here today. So don't be afraid to acknowledge that connection, that ongoing love. In the story, Jesus meets Peter on the shore, and there's fish and bread on the fire, ready to eat. Now, I'm not saying that Doris is Jesus. Okay, not saying that. But I am saying that both are revealed in the breaking of bread. Both reveal love profoundly that way. And both reveal the profound, inclusive love of God. You know that Doris always had a little extra room at the table. You know that it's not entirely coincidence that we have a storm today, so that there'll be way more than enough food at the reception. You just know, it's sort of the poetry of it all. Doris made bread, but it was so much more than bread. It was service. It was warmth. It was kindness. It was love. And sometimes it wasn't even bread. It was butter tarts, or cookies, or potato salad, or date squares. It made you feel at home if you were a visitor. It made you feel loved and connected if you were away. It made you feel close to God in church. It made police officers drop by the house, in a good way, you know. Oh, Bruce is here. And it brought family together. The grandchildren on Tuesdays, the family on Sundays, everyone for any celebration, especially for Christmas. The December one and the real one. If that dining room table could talk, oh my goodness, can you imagine? So many pierogies. So much love with each bite, with each course. Now, let's be clear, though. Peter and the rest of Jesus' loved ones, they can't simply stay on the beach basking in memories and eating bread forever. And neither can we. Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes." He says, "I do." And Jesus says, "Then feed my sheep." In this moment and in the days that have led up to this moment, Doris is asking us, do you love me? Has our life together mattered to you? And everything that we have done this week to make this moment now, this gathering happen, has been a yes, absolutely, we love you. Everything that we have done, that you have done in the last year, the last 2 years, the last 20 years, has been a yes. Yes, we love you, and you have shaped our lives in big ways and small. And then she says, then feed my sheep. Doris says to us, if you do feel the connection of love, if you want to honor our lives together, don't shut it out. Lean into it. Do as I do. Feed others. Bring cookies to those who least expect it. Offer kindness when the world would say, why bother? Get involved when others are backing away. Feed my sheep. Jesus asks Peter the same question 3 times, wanting to be sure that Peter and the others understand. It's important that they understand that I'm not gone. We will be together in God's embrace. And we are together now as you do the things that I taught you, as you love the way that I loved you. Feed my sheep. Jesus understood the love that's shared in food. The most fortunate of us here, we learned by watching Doris in the kitchen and in the world. And as we go about things as she did, we will feel not only the memories, but the very real love that survives even death. The love that reminds us to always have an extra place at the table in case a stranger should arrive. The love that reminds us that if there are four people for dinner, then make two pies. Because nobody wants a small piece of pie. And this love, it doesn't need to be expressed in food itself. You don't have to have any gifts in the kitchen, right? That was her way, but she would want you to share and excel in the gifts that you have. That's why she insisted and believed in education. That's why she supported you in what you did, no matter what it was. It didn't have to be her thing. It had to be your thing. Do your thing. However you express it, always be brave in love. Because when you love, you're never alone. You're at one with God. I know that, because I know Doris Hurst. I saw it. I feel it. We can be at one with God in the open, fearless sharing of our gifts. Doris is at one with God even in this moment. And that's why we celebrate today, even as we grieve. So I'll ask Jason to lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. O God, our strength and redeemer, giver of life and conqueror of death, we praise you with our humble hearts. With faith in your great mercy and wisdom, we entrust Doris to your eternal care. We praise you for your steadfast love for her all the days of her earthly life. We thank you for your presence in her passing and your promise that she continues to be held and loved by you. We thank you for the gift of family and the love that connects us even in death. We thank you for all that she was to those who loved her and all she continues to be. We take this time now to remember her in silence and in our own way. We thank you that for Doris there is no pain, no struggle. Death itself is past. And that she has entered the home where all people gather in peace. Keep us all in communion with your faithful people in every time and place, that at last we may rejoice together in the heavenly family with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Let us pray now in the words of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
So friends, I just want to tell you what's going to happen over the next couple of minutes. So the weather is such that the family and I are not going to go for the interment. We're going to do everything here in this moment. And there'll come a time when Doris's remains will rest with Bob's, but for now we're going to do it all here with all of you. So in a moment I'll ask you to stand as you're comfortable standing, and we'll do the formal words of commendation. Words that we've shared for thousands of years at this time, so that we can with confidence walk away from here knowing that we have done everything that we're supposed to do. We have loved Doris with everything that we have. We've left nothing undone. In this chalice, I have burned the palm leaves from last Palm Sunday, and I've mixed them with oil, and I will anoint and mark the urn with the sign of the cross. And this is what we do on Ash Wednesday. We take the palm leaves from the previous Palm Sunday, and we burn them into ashes. So I just did that quickly before we gathered here now so that we could do this. And on Ash Wednesday, we remind ourselves of our mortality. You are ashes, and to ashes you shall return. And we say that not because it's sad, but because it's wonderful. We celebrate our mortality because we know that in birth, in life, and in death, we belong to God. So we will finish that. So as Jason says the words of commendation, I will share the ashes of Palm Sunday, which remind us of the promise of Easter, that we are not alone, that we are with God. And after those words, I will invite you to sing the closing hymn with us, which is Guide Me Thou, O Great Jehovah, because I needed one more bread reference. And then after that, I invite you into the garden room to have food and refreshment, to share with each other. The weather's not beautiful, so take your time. And bring food and drink back in here. Come back into this space, because we'll have pictures of Doris up here, and there are so many beautiful memories. They're remarkable. And we will have Neil Diamond playing throughout the space, because that's what she would want. The only thing that I am at risk of disappointing Doris is if I go on much longer. So with that, my friends, I am so glad that you're here, and I invite you to stand as you're comfortable standing, that we can finish and do everything we're supposed to do.
Only you are immortal, the creator of all. We are immortal, formed of the earth, and to the earth shall we return. This you ordained when you created us, saying, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. All of us go down to dust, yet even at the grave there is no victory for death, no sting, for we are with you, and make our song, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Give rest, O Christ, to your servant, with all your saints, where there is neither pain nor sorrow nor sighing, but everlasting life. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend your servant, Doris Hurst. Acknowledge, we humbly pray thee, a sheep of your fold, a lamb of your flock, a mother, a sister, a wife, aunt, grandmother, and center of so much for so many, a child of your love and redeeming grace. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light.
Amen. So friends, I invite you to join with me, and we'll sing, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah.
Thank you.
So friends, Doris is at peace. Let us be at peace. And let us do as God would have us do, as Doris would have us do. Let us love one another without fear, without reserve, and know that God is with us. Know that Jesus walks with us. And know that the Holy Spirit absolutely surrounds and fills each and every one of us. As we remember Doris, let us know peace. Amen.